today I want to talk about honor, but before we do jump into it, I want to share, we have a series coming up next week we're going to begin called Apocalypse Ready. I think we have a slide for Apocalypse Ready. And the reason we're doing, there you go. The reason we're doing this series, we've been praying a lot about, and I don't know if you have the news, I have the news, and I, you know, whatever format you watch it in, there's a lot of stuff about the end of the world, right? We had an eclipse, it went over a couple places called, you know, different names, and all of a sudden, the whole thing was going to burn down. I'm like, it's already on fire. But honestly, to be totally honest, I value church that we understand not only that we live in the end of days, but also that we would not be deceived by foolish people and their deceptions as it pertains to what is happening. And so the beginning of the book of Revelation is honestly an epistle that is written by John through the word of Jesus Christ, the angel of the Lord, to churches. And it's telling them how to be prepared for everything that's going to come. And it's one of my favorite portions of scripture because it is very clarifying about what is important to God at the end of time. And you might have a YouTube video that's saying this day or this day or this thing or this thing, but we do know that we live in the end of days and we do not want to get swayed or tossed around by the wind and waves. We want to stand firm on the word of God. We want to be encouraged by the love of Jesus and ignited by the Holy Spirit. And so I really encourage you, this series we're doing all summer. We have some great speakers. We have a speaking team as a church who's going to be sharing, and it's really going to bless your life. So I want to encourage you, check that out, invite your friends. They've been hearing a lot about the end of the world. They're like, what is going on? Let's actually talk about it and instruct and raise up. Amen? Amen. Amen. All right, let's jump into it then today. I want to talk today about honor. Can we say honor? Let's read together. Romans 12, 10. I want to read. I'll just read it over you this morning, in fact. It says, love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. One of the greatest ingredients, I believe, for an abundant and fruitful life is one of the most misunderstood virtues in modern society, and that's honor. Honor has meant, you know, a lot of things over the centuries, but it has always been linked to virtue. And there is a cultural difference east to west. In the East, there's much more of a corporate understanding, a familial understanding of honor, the reputation of family, the reputation of people collectively together. Whereas in the West, we have a little more individual sense of honor, every person one by one. But collectively, honor has been understood for centuries as usually for women, something around chastity and purity, and men, something around bravery and integrity. And you might think, when you think honor or you think dishonor, you might get an image of someone dishonoring someone and they slap them with a glove and say, we're going to duel, right? And you have to go out and kill somebody because they violated your honor, or at least apparently stab them up real good with one of those pointy swords like a musketeer. But what really is honor? The modern world, I think, we don't really understand or conceptualize honor. And in that void, that vacuum, there's been almost an anti-honor group. And that anti-honor group sees traditional honor as anti-feminist, anti-egalitarian, hypocritical, as an incitement to violence. They see it as exclusionary and uncompassionate, thoroughly silly, if not dangerous, and wholly outdated. And as much as people would say, okay, honor is outdated, or culture tries to push honor to be outdated, we do kind of have this phantom limb sense of honor. Here's how I know. Go out into public and take a man and a woman and call her some kind of slur like whore and see how they respond. Honor still exists, right? Now, it might be small, but it's like it's there somewhere. We don't really see it, but we can sense it tingling when it's been disturbed, right? There's something within us that longs for honor. Go out and call some guy, go into the gym and call some guy a wimp, right? You're like, oh, that's weird, right? A coward. Try calling someone a coward. It's not going to go well for you, probably. I'm just guessing. Because there's something within us that recognizes honor but isn't sure what to do with it. And one of the problems, I think, I just want to share what I see as the main problem, is that the modern version of honor is more like consumeristic envy. We don't actually honor people, but we will endure people that we envy or we want something from. So we don't necessarily honor somebody because they're in a position of authority. We honor them because we would like authority, or we, you know, they'll put us in jail if we don't, right? We don't necessarily honor the wealthy per se. We just want money, and we're envious of them having it. Those with influence, those who are beautiful. The culture doesn't necessarily respect and honor people as much as it inhibits within us a very voyeuristic sense of enduring people with consumeristic envy. And that's why culture isn't really sure about how to honor moms, because it can't seem to define moms. Because modern culture, and especially progressivism, hates anything traditional, but also doesn't want women to do too well. Right? That's why a working mom is honored. She's a girl boss. She's smart. She's a feminist. She's not locked at home. She's not barefoot in the kitchen. But then immediately she's dishonored, right? For not raising her kids, for not nurturing, for missing out on things with her children. And then the stay-at-home mom, culture tries to honor the state, says, oh, well, they're caring for the kids, they're nurturing, they're invested. But immediately they're dishonored, saying they're trapped in the kitchen, they should want more, she must be lazy or dumb or is not intelligent enough to go have this opportunity. She's not driven, right? It's a moving target. Am I the only one that sees this, or can I get an amen? It's a moving target. One minute you're honored, the next you're dishonored. And it could be any reason. Culture doesn't know. Do we honor them for working? Do we honor them for raising children? What if she can't bear children? What if she adopts? What if she fosters? What if she's barren? What if she makes more than her husband? What if she has no husband? Culture has no idea how to honor, because it cannot box moms into one specific thing to envy as a consumer. And so it doesn't know how to truly honor. The truth is, we should honor moms. Why? Because they deserve honor, because the Lord said so. This is what is bad. When you take out God as the core of honor, it is very difficult to honor. Because the reason that we have the core of honor, and it's a collective honor, is because of the Lord. But if you remove the Lord, then society has to agree on the same code. And I don't know if you've been hiding under a rock, but society is not agreeing on a code. Fair? And they're not going to agree. Fair? But we are called to honor. Why? Because honoring others is worship to God. So let me talk about honor from a biblical perspective. What is honor from a biblical perspective? We're at church, so I hope you were kind of expecting that. The Greek is tameo. The Hebrew is kabod. And the word literally means a heaviness or a weightiness. And so honor is a weight given to someone. So when we give someone weight, we're granting them a position of respect and maybe even authority in our life. That's the biblical foundation of honor, that we're granting someone a position of respect and often even authority in our lives. That's externally. Internally, we have an attitude of respect, of courtesy, and of reverence. You still with me? Okay, so let me give a couple things on honor, because I want us to honor moms well, and I want us to honor others well as we go from here. So I want to build a foundation, if we could. We're going to build a little house, a little structure of what honor is. So let's start with the foundation. The source of all honor is God. If you're writing notes, you can write that down. The source of all honor is God. It begins with Him, and it resides in Him. And the reason that He is the source is that He is... Let me say it a different way. It's based on His position as a sovereign creator and on His character as a loving father. 1 Chronicles 29:11. I'm going to jump through a lot of scripture today, so I'll give you the reference. It'll be on the screen. And you can write it down and go dig more yourself, because that's always life-giving. But let's jump there. 1 Chronicles 29. It says, "Yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty." Amen. "For all that's in the heavens and in the earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord, and you are exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come from you, and you rule over all. In your hand are power and might, and in your hand is and your hand is to make great and to give strength to all. So the foundation of this idea of honor, we need to understand that its source, its root, its foundation is the Lord. That's where it comes from, because that's where it is rooted, which means it is up to him to define it. Amen. It is up to him to define what it is, who it goes to, and how it returns, and how it is returned to him, right? If you own something and you give it to someone, there is not only an expectation that and there's an expectation they would return it, there's also an expectation of the condition in which they return it. So if Nino lends me his car, and there's an expectation I'm returning it, but there's also an expectation that I return it in a decent quality to you, right? And if I bring it back to you and I say, well, you know, it's just, it doesn't really matter how we bring it back. You say, well, it does matter. And I actually told you and I wrote it down for you 2,000 years ago. Right? It's like I wrote down how to receive it. The Protestants, we struggle a little bit with this. Pentecostals, we're like, God loves everything we bring, and it's so true. But he has also written down how he wants you to return it to him. We'll get to that later. People are like, what? I thought I just did whatever I wanted. Nope. Psych. Your friend tricked you. No, I'm just kidding. Honor comes from God. That's the second thing. So not only does honor is sourced in God, but honor comes from God. This is so important because all of the honor that is received comes from the Lord. Jesus was honored through God. Though Jesus is God, he's part of the Trinity, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. They are all God, distinct beings within God. Jesus is his own being within the Trinity. And so Jesus is honored. The Son is honored by the Father. That's why in John 5:23, Jesus says that all may honor the Son just as they honor the Father. Whoever does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. Why? Because Jesus said the Son receives his honor through the Father. So God gives honor to Jesus. But what's amazing is that God also gives honor to us. Yes, us. Hebrews 2:6 says this. Hebrews 2:6-8. This isn't a slide. I'm just going to read it to you. It says, it's been testified somewhere, what is man that you're mindful of him, or the son of man that you care for him? You made him a little lower than the angels. You've crowned him with glory and honor, putting everything in subjugation under his feet. Now, in putting everything in subjection to him, you left nothing outside his control. At present, we do not yet see everything in subjection to him. So God, right here, God honors Jesus. And then Jesus, because that's the Son of Man that he's talking about, Jesus dies and then is resurrected and invites us into the resurrection life and holiness and righteousness, and we receive through him the honor of God. Are you with me? And we've really done nothing to be honored by God, but because of Jesus who was honored by God, we receive honor. Amen? Because of God's love, he bestows honor on us. And he commands us to honor others as worship. This is why honor is worship to God. In fact, I would propose that honor is really true and pure worship to God. When we honor God specifically, we are worshiping. Matthew 22. Jesus was asked, what's the greatest commandment? Right, God, what's the greatest? I know there's a lot. What's the greatest commandment? And Jesus says this in Matthew 22:37. Jesus says, you shall love the Lord with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. So this is the greatest and first commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. So here's the great command of God, right? The greatest command of God is first to love who? Who we love? Okay, we love the Lord. We love God. And who do we love second? Our neighbors, others, right? So the greatest commandment, right? I mean, this is the root of our being. We don't need to overcomplicate Christianity. Here's the root of it, right? Jesus, what is the number one thing you are commanding us, God has commanded us to do? Love the Lord with everything you have. What's the next one? Love others as you love yourself. Amazing, right? Isn't it funny? We'll be like, Jesus, what are we supposed to do? Tell us what we're supposed to do. He's like, I told you. Start there. See, what I love is as we begin to understand what it means to love God with all of our heart and our mind and our body and our strength and our soul, everything that's within us, we begin to understand a life that is truly honoring the Lord with everything we have. Because in the Word of God, the ideas of love and the ideas of honor are linked. Go with me to Romans chapter 12. Do we have that again? I think I mentioned it. I want to mention it again. Here's what it says. It says, love one another with brotherly affection and outdo one another in showing honor. Look at that again. Love one another with brotherly affection, outdo one another in showing honor. See, when we honor someone, when we give them the weight, when we honor God, it reveals love through humility. Because you cannot think of yourself as better than someone else and truly honor them. You can hypocritically recognize them. You can give them fake respect. You can give them lip service. But to truly honor them, we have to love them, which is why God chastises his people. And he says, they love me with their mouths, but their hearts are far from me. Right? They honor me with their lips, with their praise, but their heart is far from me. Because to God, love and honor are linked. Because to love God and to love others, we have to be humble. Did you know that humility is a posture of worship? That we humble ourselves and we begin to honor others. Are you still with me? Honor is so important. So the question is, who has God commanded us to honor? Well, he's commanded us explicitly to honor a few groups of people. Here they are. Perfect. The first is God, right? You knew that one, though, right? The first one is that we honor God. God is the sovereign head of the universe whose character is unsurpassed. This is our life. Did you know that? This is the call of our life as believers, is to honor God. If we don't get anything else right, if we don't like nail the perfect follow-up system or like the perfect mailer or like, I don't know, we, you know, don't get your coffee right outside. That's so small. This is the biggest thing, amen, that we honor God. Second thing he tells us is to honor governing authorities and masters. This is a posture that's really hard for the Western church to understand because we are a very independent, revolutionary group of people. So this isn't Christ saying or God saying to honor in a way that violates Christian principle or the standards of Christ, right? Like a Nazi soldier cannot say, well, I was honoring my governing authority and that's why I did what I did, right? We were like, nope, right? You're out of here. But for those of us believers who understand that there's authorities set over us and understand there's leaders set over us, part of who we're called to show honor to is those who are governing authorities. This requires humility. You can test someone's humility really well on how they feel about governing authorities. We've already preached a message on that. We're not going to stay there very long. The third thing is who? Parents. Okay, I like this one. Exodus 20, one of the Ten Commandments. Love your mother and father, right? Honor your mother and father. I think this one's fascinating because if you go to Exodus 21, he says, anyone who curses or strikes their parents should be put to death. Some of you would not have survived your teen years, right? Did you curse at your mom? Dead. In the Old Testament, dead. God might take honor more seriously than we do. Your father and mother. It's about a multitude of things. It was about caring for them when they were elderly. He said, listen, if you've not begun to care for your aging parents, we need to have a conversation, Jesus says. It was also how you spoke to them. It was how you treated them. Why? Because the way in which you honor your mother, Mother's Day, is the way in which you honor God. And so if you do not honor your mother and father, you're not honoring God. Again, none of these, this is so important, are justifications of abusive behavior on the behalf of whoever's on this list. I mean, God and Jesus won't ever be in that category, but, you know, fellow believers can be mean parents, yeah, some of us, right? It's not a justification of bad behavior. It's a recognition of our action towards others as worship to who? To God. Okay, so then Jesus, the head of the church, we honor fellow believers. Did you know that? We honor fellow believers. We're called to honor one another. That's why Romans says, outdo one another in showing honor. You all right down there? Doing okay? All right. Outdo one another in showing honor. Man, that might not be a bad mission for a church. Imagine a church that just said, our goal is to outdo one another in showing honor. We're just going to find ways to honor and love one another. Everyone, not the convenient people, not the people I automatically, it's easy for me to, just everyone. We're going to honor. What would that look like? Okay, in the last category, God explicitly tells us to honor is widows. And also included here is often orphans. But this category exists directly as widows. People say, well, widows mean this. And no, widows mean widows. Right? If he wanted to say something else, he would have. But he said widows. So it means? Hey, we nailed it. I think that's so important. Here's a category of people who were looked over by their culture and who were forgotten by their culture. And Jesus says, care for them. Care for these people. See, when we honor God, we're worshiping with our life. And when we honor others, we're worshiping God with our life. It's an offering to God. Because honor reveals not only what we believe about God and his authority, but it reveals what we believe about us and our position and others and their value. If we honor God, it reveals publicly, right, what we truly believe about God. Is he our Lord and Savior? But it also reveals what we believe about us and our position. Do we still think we sit on the throne and we are the highest being and we are the smartest and best and over and over and over? Or is that God? But it also reveals what we believe about others and their value. Because it's hard to honor someone and devalue them at the same time. It's hard to honor who Jesus honored and not care for the poor and hurting and broken. It's hard to honor within the church and not try to elevate those who feel unelevated. That's how when Paul teaches the early church, he says that God gives greater honor to the lesser member. See, I think the church, we've gotten this so wrong. Because many ministers have tried to stand upon an honor culture. I need everyone to honor me and honor. Listen, that's built. That's not bought. It's definitely fruit. It's not forced. So if you want to call me pastor, whatever it is, that's fine. I'm not worried about it. I'm very blessed to pastor church. It's very honoring. But within the church, we have this thing where we begin to tolerate lesser giftings and elevate greater giftings. So we tolerate the servant who's a little bit of a busybody, but we elevate the charismatic communicator. And that's not honor. We tolerate the person with difficult kids, and we elevate the kids that make us feel good and look good on Instagram. But that, we don't do that. Just clarify. We don't do that at Banner Church because we believe that God is said to honor. In fact, he honors the lesser members so that the foot can't say to the hand, can't say to the mouth, can't say to the eye, I don't belong to the body. He says, I've honored the lesser members. In fact, the members inside, the organ, the kidney, the liver, that aren't even seen and sometimes are a little gross when you really get around them, right? God says, those are really honored. How many of you are thankful for your stomach? Right? We honor. This is so important, church, because those who lack honor will miss the possibilities of the kingdom. See, when Jesus began his ministry, he went to his hometown, but the people in his hometown could not get it. Here's what happened. He begins to move and speak in authority, and here's what they said to him, Mark 6. Said, is this not the carpenter, the son of Mary and brother of James and Joseph and Judas and Simon? Are not his sisters here with us? And they took offense at him. You ever try going back to like your high school reunion, right? No, I don't go to them. But I heard people do. Moved on from those people. And Jesus said to them, they'd be shocked, honestly. You're what? Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor. Follow this. Except in his hometown and among his relatives and in his household. Some of you are like, yes, my siblings do not honor me. And he could, look at this. This is so important. He could do no mighty work there. Did you see that? He could do no mighty work there, except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and healed them, which is still amazing. But what it tells us is that he could have done more, right? I mean, his like, all he could do was the best Sunday ever. But that means that there was kingdom possibility that was missed because he was not honored. He had the power. He was full of the Holy Spirit. He's God, fully man. But the Spirit will not force miracles where he is not honored. God will not force heaven to come down and his will to be done where he is not honored. When a person, when a church, or when a nation does not honor God, they will not see God move. When a person or a church or a nation fools around with the things of evil and darkness, when they begin to dishonor those who should be honored, when they begin to dishonor the things of honor, when they begin to cut down and pervert the things of God, they will not see the fruit of the Spirit. They will not see it. There's a danger to dishonor because it misses out the possibilities of the kingdom. That's why the toxic culture of gossip has destroyed the church in America. How dare we think that the Holy Spirit's gonna move when he knows that gossip's in your heart? Repent. How dare we think that God is gonna move if there's disunity or backtalk or vile words spoken behind about others in our heart? Repent. That God might have mercy and that his kingdom might come. Listen, we're not a wimpy church. We're a Holy Spirit church. You're strong enough to hear that. Amen? We all need to hear it because we long for the possibilities of the kingdom of God. This is what he says in Luke 4. He said, "Truly I say to you, no prophet is acceptable in his own town. But in truth, I tell you, there were many widows in Israel in the days of Elijah." Remember one of the categories that God wants us to honor, widows, right? "When the heavens were shut up for 3 years and 6 months and a great famine came over all the land, and Elijah was sent to none of them but only Zarephath in the land of Sidon to a woman who was a widow." I love Jesus tosses this in, Luke 4. And he gives more examples, but we don't have enough time to cover all of them. "In a great famine, Elijah was sent to a widow by God." But look what Jesus says. He says there were many widows, but God only sent him to one. Why? Because he's talking about honor. She was the one who was honoring God, and he knew would honor Elijah. Are you with me? That the Spirit and the prophetic giftings of God will be sent to those who are already honoring. God, send us more people into the house. How are you honoring the people next to you in your house? God, send us more. God, move in power. How are you honoring him? How are we honoring? Are we honoring the widows? We have some incredible people here that foster children. Do you even know who they are? How are we honoring? Are we honoring others? Because here at church, I believe this, and I believe there's a reason that we've seen God move in powerful ways, because you're people of honor. So I'm not telling you anything you don't know. I just want to make sure we're building a good house. And I don't want to, those are kind of the beams. I don't want to skip those. So don't hear that as me chastising you, but I feel like we're just all agreeing, amen? We're in agreement. Because we believe here at Banner Church that those who honor will experience the wonders of God's kingdom. That those who honor will experience the fruit of the Spirit, the miracles of Jesus, and the power of God Almighty. See, that widow, she experienced miracle upon miracle. She not only experienced this miraculous work of bread, but she experienced the resurrection of her son. Because she honored the Lord and she honored others. She honored Elisha. If honor is true worship, let me put it this way. If honor, I'm excited, so I bring it down, sorry. Okay, that's all right. I'm never sure, how Pentecostal can we? I'll just be all the Pentecostal. If honor is true worship, and God is present in our worship, right? That he inhabits our praises. Then when we honor, God and his kingdom are present with us. That means when we say, "Your kingdom come," he says, "Great, where is the worship? Your will be done," he says, "Where is the worship?" that I might inhabit. We build a place for him. We prepare a place for him. Your kingdom come, your will be done, that his honor comes. And it permeates the midst of worship. So when you honor your mom today, it's worship. Now, if you do her lip service and fake respect, it's not worship. So you'd say, oh no, Pastor, I forgot to get her a gift. I forgot to get her a gift. Listen, if you sit down and pray with your mom and honor her in prayer, that's pure worship. What miracle does your family need? Say, Mom, we're going to pray today. Probably blow her away. Some of you moms, you've been honoring your family through serving them. And some days you wonder, what is this all really worth it? You're like, I want to go to that worship night and really worship God. And we love that, don't we? It's so good. I love worship nights. But can I tell you, you are worshiping God by loving your children as Christ loves you. You are worshiping your God, or you're worshiping God by honoring your family. In fact, it is holy and pure and true worship. So I want to encourage you, when you're honoring your family, don't be afraid to ask the Lord for big things, because he's present there in your worship. Are you with me? Moms, he's present there as you're praying and interceding for your kids. He's present there as you're nurturing and caring for someone who has no capability of returning to you the amount you've given to them. That's Jesus. You're honoring them. I want to encourage you. That is pure worship. Honor is pure worship that produces the fruit of the kingdom in our lives. Amen. So how do we honor? Let me give you really quick. I'm going to be quick because I haven't been so far. First thing, priorities. Remember the greatest commandment? Priorities. Say priorities. The greatest commandment, love God, love others. If God is first in our life, if he's honored first above anything else, that is his correct place. If he's under anything else, he's dishonored. Do you hear that? And if we love others, you say it again. If God is first, then he's honored. If he's anything but first, he's dishonored. We start there. Pastor, I'm having some trouble in my life. Is God first? Is he honored? No. Start there. Then we'll talk. If we love others, they're honored. If we're selfish, they're dishonored. Pastor, I don't want to serve. It's too hard. Dishonored. If we love others, honored. I love my father-in-law was in town. And I'm like a very traditional person. I know I have tattoos and this hair, so I don't look like it. But I'm a hyper-traditionalist. You could probably guess every way I would vote, direction I would lean. Hyper-traditionalist. Because I value honor culture heavily, personally. That's why you'll usually always hear me call Pastor Barry pastor, because Barry is not only my friend and he works for us, but he is also one of my pastors. I value his input, so he receives that from me. But I have my father-in-law in town, and I was always just trying to get him to sit at the head of the table and pray for us. I just value that as a family, that the elder and my father are the same thing. And I'm like, Dad, my dad's a very servant-hearted person. He's like, no, I don't want to sit. I don't want to sit. I'm like, please sit there. Like, I need my kids to see honor. I need them to see honor. I need them to see that though culture doesn't honor, that when we as a family honor, there's a blessing on our house. See, culture assumes that if we lift someone up, it means we have to be pushing someone down. But honor says, listen, I will step down. I'm the person so that you can step up and be elevated and lifted high. It's good. It's holy worship to honor those who should be honored. That's why Philippians 2, it tells us to honor one another. It tells us to not have our own interests in mind. It tells us to look after the interests of others. Right? It says, have this in mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, though he's in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men and being found in human form. He humbled himself and becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him, bestowed upon him the name that's above every other name. So at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under earth, and every tongue shall confess that Jesus is Lord, to the glory of the Father. Amen. Do nothing out of selfish ambition, but in humility. Second thing is pursuit. Say pursuit. Jesus pursued us, right? You heard Philippians 2, 3, I just read it. Jesus pursued us. He stepped out of heaven. Jesus humbly pursued us. Jesus is the good shepherd who left the 99 for the one, right? He left the 99 for lost sheep like you and I. Amen? He left the 99 for us scraggly, weird-haired psychos out there in the woods, keep falling into the ditch, gladly be drawn into wolves for some crate, right? Us, right? You know what I'm talking about? He came for us. He didn't have to, but he did. There were enough righteous people. He could have been happy, but he came for us crazies. Amen? He left the 99 for the one because we're his children. That's why when Jesus sees the crowds, he says they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd, and he was moved to compassion. See, we use the word empathy now because we stop using the word compassion, because compassion means you have to do something. Empathy just means you have to feel something. It's great to feel things, but eventually it gets old if you don't do anything. But Jesus was stirred to a response, to go after, to do something. That's why Romans 12 says, outdo one another, not outthink one another or outplan on or outwish someone would give you honor. Outdo one another in showing honor. Don't be lazy in honor. Outdo, pursue. It's not abstract. What single mom do I know could use some help? What fellow believer is suffering that I could come alongside and support? Do I know? Do I pursue honor? Do I wait to be honored and elevated? Do I want to be like the widow of Zarephath, or do I want to be like the people in Jesus' home? Which one do I want to be? Can I just tell you, church, I want the fruit of the Spirit. I want to be like the widow. I want to be like the people who go after Jesus in pursuit. And how we do that? By honoring others. Okay, two last things really quick. You ready? Okay, praise. Someone say praise. Praise. Simple, worship, right? Praise is worship from our mouths. There's a lot of worship, but praise is specifically declaration. Scripture is full of commands to praise God and how to praise God. Lift up your voice. Lift up your hands. Praise him with stringed instruments, right? People are like, why do we have guitars, Pastor? It's in the Bible. God has a recipe. He invited us, so we do this. We don't have lutes anymore. I couldn't get Brandon to play one, so he's got the keys now, right? Lift your voice. Praise is important, right? Let's get a glimpse of heaven real quick. It says, all the angels, Revelation 7. Here's a glimpse of heaven. This is what heaven's going to look like. Like, Pastor, I skip worship. Skip heaven then, because it's all worship. It says, and all the angels were standing around the throne. Was that too mean? Oh, we'll talk about it in the staff meeting. Pastor, you're too mean. Around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures. And they fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever. Amen. Giving honor to God, singing honor to him is worship. That's why we worship. It's not so a song hits us in the feelings. It's because we're here to give honor and glory to God. And when we give honor and glory to God through praise, he inhabits the praises of his people and he moves in authority. Not only does he rest upon them, but he establishes his throne in them, which means his rule and reign are present with us. That's why we call it an encounter. That's why there's freedom. That's why there's healing. You know, the reason that there's healing in worship is not because the C sharp, if you can just get to the C sharp chord and it's like all of the drums come up and it's like, ah, like then God is here. Brandon hits that pad, right? It's like, oh, Holy Spirit pad. That is not it. Why does God move? Because his presence resides in his praises. And when we honor him with praises, he resides in it. That's how we love worship. But another kind of praise is not just the kind we give to the Lord, it's the kind we give others, and that's more like affirmation. Did you know that to lift one another up is to honor them? We live in a culture that's like always got their phone half ready just in case someone does something stupid so we can record it. What if we did the opposite? What if we were just waiting for a chance to celebrate somebody? What if you became known as the person that people wanted to invite somewhere because you were going to rejoice? What if you were the first person they called because they knew you were going to celebrate? What if when they were weary, you were the first person they thought of to pick up the phone and call because they knew you would lift them up? You wouldn't be like, you're so dumb. I can't believe you did that. I can't believe you made that choice. You're such an idiot. You would say, listen, God is going to do something. Come on, brother, let's go and repent, and let's go before the cross, and God is going to move, and God is going to change, and God is going to stir, and God is going to alter some things in your life. What would it look like? Hebrews 10:24, let us consider how to stir another to love and good works, not neglecting meeting together as the habit of some, but encouraging one another, even more as the day draws near. Honor builds up the body. Okay, last thing, band, you can come up. Protection, say protection. Oh, come on, say protection. This is the last one. Yeah, there we go. Thank you, Ben. We honor God by caring for what's precious to God. Here's James 1:27. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this. You say, well, Pastor, I thought it was a relationship, not a religion. It is a relationship, but it's also a religion. And there's a kind of religion that God accepts. Not all kinds, not a works religion. He doesn't accept that. Here's the kind of religion, meaning a pursuit of the divine that God accepts. To look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. Did you catch that? This is it. To look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. Let's start with the last one. Keep oneself being polluted by the world. What is that? We need to protect the heart that Christ died for, which is our heart. We need to not let anything into our heart or the hearts of our families or in the home that would violate that honor, the purity of our hearts. One of the ways we honor our family is by being very careful about what we allow to speak into our lives. And the second way is that we honor the orphan and widows. We honor those who the world has given no status to. We honor and care for those that the world does not. We honor those that the world has forgotten, amen? And in honoring them, we honor God. Interwoven into the life of the believer is this call to protect and preserve the things that are precious to God. We protect His church. We do not slander His church. We might correct His church, right? Call even leaders to repentance. But we don't dishonor, disunify, or slander it. We protect mothers and wives. We honor them in word, deed, and thought. We do not allow people to mistreat, abuse, hurt, ignore. We honor them. And we honor the motto, modern widows and orphans, of which our state is full of. When our flesh wants to be selfish, we submit to Christ. All of us about Austin and Delaney and fostering and adopting all these things. It's very precious to my heart. But our state is full of orphans who need to be honored and loved and cared for. How many of you loved Gary Webb speaking? So good. Can I just encourage you, man, if God moved on your heart, don't let that go. I know the week got like immediately crazy after you said yes to Jesus in that moment. Don't let it go. Don't let it go. We honor, we honor, we honor. I just want to say, especially this morning, single moms, grandmothers who are single mothers, foster mothers who are single mothers, I just want you to hear me say on behalf of myself and the leadership, you have a seat of honor in this house. I know there's many places or many times that single moms have expressed to me it's easy to feel outside or to feel ashamed or feel different. And I just want you to hear, well, we're going to agree in amen, that single moms, you have a seat of honor in this house. Amen. Come on, single moms, you have a seat of honor in this house. Amen? In fact, what we want to do, I have this slide. Can we put this slide up? If I'm blocking it, just come get it from me later. I'm sorry. If you're a single mom here of any capacity, maybe you're a grandmother who's just acting as a single mom or you're a foster mom, here's what I want you to do. I want you to scan this code and we're going to send you, it's like $100. We're going to send you a gift card because we want to bless you. We want to bless you, whatever you need, groceries, gas, whatever you need. We want to bless you. because we know that God's heart is for you. And at Banner Church, we honor you. So this is us as a church. We're going to do this. We want to honor you. So scan this code. And if for some reason it doesn't work, please come speak to me after. Or you can email me at josh@banner.church. So if you're online, you missed, but you're home, you're not well, I still want to bless you. I'll even do that. But just email me or scan this code. We want to bless you because single moms, you are so precious to us. And we are praying and interceding. We have an incredible mother here. It's a single woman who fosters. And I just want to say I love you so much. You're such a blessing. Your ministry is incredible. But here's the blessing of God. When this true, holy, pure worship is offered, His kingdom is present and it moves. Amen. The honor is the worship that produces the fruit of the kingdom in our lives. It's one of the blessings of a life in following Christ. So here's how I'd like to end today. I want to honor moms. Can we do that together, church? So we have could you hand me one of these, actually? You're a mom. We'll pray for you. We'll pray for you too first. I'll hold this one. This one got scratched. Perfect. Okay, we have this. This is it a plaque, framed art? How do I say that? Delaney, help me. Framed art? Okay, great. And yeah, thank you. I mean, you work for me, you have to say that. And it's got a quote on it. And we've just really valued this for Father's Day and Mother's Day, is we love to pray for you and pray a blessing over you. We love to give you a gift to remember that prayer, but the thing we really want to give you is a blessing to pray over you, because everything that you're facing is a big deal, and we want to pray a blessing. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to invite the wives of our staff and some of our staff. If you guys would come up, the moms on our staff. If you're a mom on our staff, would you come up? Can we celebrate them for a second? Awesome. You can just, you want to come all the way up? Yeah, come all the way up. That's fine. Yeah, stay right here. Stay right here. Will you come down too? I know you're going to sing a thing in a minute, but you can come down here. Here's what we're going to do. It's far. All right. Yeah, I like those ones, but let's do that. Let's start there. Give me one of those. Yeah, give them to them. That'd be great. Thank you, Marcus. Barry, will you come with me? We're going to pray. How many of you know we have some awesome moms on our staff? Amen? Amen. So we're going to pray a blessing over them. Would you just sit with me? Would you just reach your hands out? Let's say sitting, but would you just reach your hands out? We're going to pray over these moms. Lord God, we thank you for these incredible mothers that we have on our Banner Church staff. We thank you for what a blessing they are. We thank you for the life that they live. God, we thank you for their sacrifice. Lord, we thank you that these are powerfully anointed prophetic women of God, and daily they choose to humble themselves and to serve others and to lift others up. God, I thank you that they not only choose that place of operating fully according to your spirit, but they lead others so well. They lead their families. So I pray a blessing over their children, a blessing over their grandchildren, a blessing over their homes, a blessing over their health, a blessing over their coming and their going. God, every part of their life, that your spirit would rest in a mighty way. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Here's what we're going to do. If you're a mom or a grandma, would you just stand up for me? Or if you are physically unable to stand, just put your hand up. But everyone else who can stand, stand up. Would you stand up? That's okay. Yeah, no, now. There we go. Thank you. Here's what I'm gonna invite everyone but Gillian, because she's got to sing, and our staff. We want to pray for you specifically. So Gillian's going to lead us in worship, but we want to pray for you specifically. Can we celebrate all the moms this morning? Awesome. We're going to pray a prayer of blessing. So it's going to take 5 minutes, but we specifically want to pray for every single one of you. Can we do that? Okay, here's what we're going to do. I'm just going to release you. We have our inside team. Would you grab some of these frames? I'm going to send you guys together. We're going to go, Austin and Delaney, would you guys go? Barry and Candy, would you go? Candy and I will go. We're going to pray real quick. And then Gillian, would you just lead us in singing as we go?
Thank you for listening to the Banner Church podcast. We hope this message was impactful for you. Check the episode notes to visit our website, follow us on social media, and subscribe to our podcast. We'll see you again next week.